Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Drunk women solving.
Is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Katie Wilkins and I'm an author and comedian. I'm joined by screenwriter Hannah George.
Hello.
And writer-comedian Taylor Glenn.
Hello.
This is where brandy meets bludgeoning, mimosa meets misdemeanor, and port meets prostitution. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
This dog was like the Brad Pitt of golden retrievers.
Cheat with the French, now I'm fighting with France and with Spain.
What a night for HG.
Drinking.
You I look am... like my dog.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Welcome to another episode of Drunk Women Solving Crime. We are recording this in the UK. We have just entered lockdown 2. It is the difficult second album. Sequels are always so hard. People are going to want all the things that they enjoyed in the first one, like banana bread, but also they don't want to see their banana bread memories destroyed. So it's a really difficult line to tread, you guys. But also, by the time this comes out, everyone's going to be like, who gives a shit about lockdown 2? So anyway, I'm just going to move straight on. We are joined this week by the fantastic American comedian and writer, Laura Hayden.
Ooh, somebody's dog even cheered.
Yeah,
my dog that's fantastic. Dogs dig me. It's all right.
He is a big Laura Hayden fan. He didn't know you were
coming. Absolutely. I'm big in the animal kingdom. They can hear me screech.
I should say as well, also it's November 5th. So we may be interjected with fireworks.
That's what set
is that why your dog dog's off. Barking at him?
Yeah. And
what happens November 5th fireworks in the UK?
Oh boy, how do we sum up this weird inane holiday?
You can translate it, Taylor.
Do you want the Americans' take on it?
Yes, please. Well, it'll be slightly wrong and easy. Yeah, I like it.
Well, it's kind of celebrating a guy who tried to blow up Parliament. And I guess the fireworks are a bit of an homage to his chutzpah.
It's a dark, bleak, weird celebration.
But yeah, so his name was Guy Fawkes, but it feels like we're kind of celebrating him, which is a funny thing to celebrate because it's kind of like, good for you, almost blowing up Parliament.
Also, aren't we celebrating his demise?
Because we throw a guy on the fire, don't we?
We literally burn his effigy. It's a weird fucking thing that we're doing here.
You know, I feel like we should adopt that in the US. I feel like there are people we should celebrate with fireworks and then burn effigy of their bodies. I'll come up with a top 10 list in American history.
And then you can...
We're still trying to count ballots right now, currently in the U.S.
Oh, my God. It's November 5th, and we don't know who is the president of the USA. Yeah.
And Laura's neither like, where are you from? And I was like, Pennsylvania.
California was easy. You could have guessed which way that those electoral votes were going to go before the election even went on. Yeah. So that was...
Yeah, I'm registered to vote in New York, which kind of feels like a letdown because I'm like, oh, I kind of wish I could contribute to the swing state instead of just being like, here's my vote, which is very predictable. Yeah. Like, it's never a surprise. But you know what? We're not supposed to have fun. It's not supposed to be fun.
Food for thought for the next fascist takeover.
It's always good to have back history.
We've got to crack on, but I have one quick question. When you guys do the 4th of July, is it literally the 4th of July? It's not like a week of fireworks, everyone going, oh, I'm going to celebrate tonight.
People like their fireworks because there's nothing more fun than huge explosions and flames and the chance of causing fires. It's the only holiday, that and Christmas and Thanksgiving, I think, that actually really happen on the actual day. You can't, Halloween too, you can't change 4th of July. We're going to celebrate on the 1st. It is the 4th of July. So yes.
Yeah, it wouldn't. Okay.
That's good. People do fireworks the whole week because they like to blow things up, but it's literally the 4th of July.
Okay. I'm going to be unable to stop myself from giving a very quick anecdote, which is we had a crazy mayor of Pittsburgh called Sophie Maslow. I don't know how she got elected. She was kind of adorable, totally clueless. She wanted to save money. So she pitched July the 3rd. She's like, if we do it a day early.
What, the fireworks are cheaper? How is this saving money?
You do it the day after when they're selling them at half price. Like, sure.
Maybe it was the 5th of July, which is even worse because then you're behind everybody. But anyway.
I could happily talk about fireworks all night, but instead.
Me too, I love them.
I've got to ask, Laura Hayden, can you tell us, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
Oh, I have been fantasizing and dreaming about this question for weeks. I live in Los Angeles, California. Ooh. When am I not a victim of crime? I could probably give you crimes daily, but I thought long and hard about what would be the most interesting for your podcast. And I, based on the episodes I've listened to so far, I don't think anybody's had this happen.
Okay.
When I was about 8 years old, someone stole our family dog. Retriever.
Oh, that was very triggering. I've just had to calm my dog down. He's heard that. He hasn't barked yet, but he's looking at me very pensive. So,
This dog was like the Brad Pitt of golden retrievers because people wanted to buy him all the time. I mean, golden retrievers are beautiful. They're gorgeous dogs. I mean, all dogs are cute, but this dog was like stunning. Like, it was the Chris Hemsworth of golden retrievers. So people are all the time like, can we buy your dog? And we're like, no, it's our dog. And we had two dogs. We had a black lab and this golden retriever. Nobody wanted to take the black lab. I mean, he was a good looking dog too, but the golden retriever got all the love. And people would ask to buy him all the time. And I remember one time somebody says, I really need this dog. I really want this dog. We're like, no. And so my mom, trusting, we never locked anything in our house growing up.
Where did you grow up?
Actually, I grew up in West Covina, but it was right on the La Puente border. Not where anybody would know that, but very Hispanic. Again, California, nobody would know it.
See, people, I know West Covina from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Yeah, me too.
Like, oh my God. Yeah. Okay. I grew up in the San Gabriel Valley, so you would know that because it's the home of Bill and Ted. So,
oh, even better. Oh my God. Oh, yeah. This gets better.
It's all Bill and Ted.
I forgot about they filmed the dog. All that. I'm just so excited. No, sorry, continue.
I grew up really close to Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure area. The slide park they go to, we used to go to, like, weekends and during the summer and stuff.
That's awesome.
That's so fun.
Anyhow, I'm like, what other movie references would you like for where I grew up? So the gate wasn't locked and somebody opened the gate and only took one dog. Like, if it was, I'm sure the other dog wasn't like, oh, I'll just stay here while you go. Like, if a gate had opened, both dogs would go out. I mean, this was calculated. Someone stole the golden retriever but left the black lab.
Wow.
So at 8 years old, somebody stole our family pet.
And like, so did you call the police? Did it ever get returned?
No, they're the police. Sorry.
Was it Angelina Jolie?
Well, that would be fantastic.
With poor Jennifer left behind.
Yeah, Jennifer, still cute, but not as cute as Angelina Jolie.
Boy, oh boy.
Didn't have the moves. It was a Mr. and Mrs. Smith moment completely.
Oh, no.
That is super traumatic. So you woke up and you just had one dog.
One dog, yeah. And then we got both dogs at the same time. So they were friends.
Oh, man. And like, that's just so sad for the dog that's left behind as well, crying for his friend.
Yes.
You guys made a police report, I'm guessing.
Yeah, yeah. No, they called the police, but they're like, it's a dog. We got things to deal with.
Like, no, it's the Brad Pitt of dogs.
Dogs, yeah. Exactly.
This is important.
I grew up in an area where the police force was pretty much like, did anybody bleed? Was there a stabbing? No gunshots? Okay, well, we're sorry about your dog.
Isn't it sad, though, that I imagine, like, because there's this whole thing, isn't there, about when a sort of a woman is murdered, if she's blonde, middle class, pretty.
With the dogs.
Yeah. It's you get more police attention because the world is unfair and fucked up. But I love the idea that, yeah, for your sexy dog, it, like, the police are like, we're going to find it. But for, like, some shitty Jack Russell or some terrier, they're just like, do you know what? No, probably.
But even for this, the police were like, we don't care how sexy this dog was. We're not going to find it.
They never saw the dog. So they just knew it was a family pet, a golden retriever that was, you know.
They're like, you still have the one. Be grateful.
Exactly. They left the other dog, which was a perfectly nice dog, too. So,
wow.
Well, and now we know during lockdown that the like value of dogs has trebled, quadrupled or something. So there are dog thefts all over the place here because people are selling them on for ridiculous amounts. I've never read about so many dog thefts.
Yeah, yeah. We keep getting warnings in our Facebook, like village Facebook group.
Do
like,
you?
Really?
Gates, people are stealing dogs.
Well, we're on lockdown. How are people stealing your dog if you're home all day?
They are breaking lockdown, I mean, for starters.
Oh, okay. It's I need like a pet really ethics. Bad. Let's get out of the house. It's not hard to get a dog, so I don't understand. Like, there's dogs everywhere. Like, you don't have to, like, steal somebody's pet. There are dogs everywhere.
And I can't say this enough. Go to a shelter. Go to Battersea. Get a dog that needs a home. You don't have to steal some child's loved pet.
You do if you want to profit, Katie. You do if you want to profit. I don't want to be a harsh entrepreneur.
I'm pretty sure this was he was going to be a stud dog. So he's probably had a perfect life, you know?
A lot of bitches.
And that's actually not out of order to say that.
That's
like
the
correct.
Only time you should
say that. Was it not neutered? It wasn't neutered.
No.
Right. Again, the similarities to Brad Pitt are just, it's amazing. On and on. Very much intact, I've heard.
I really can't get over the idea of these people coming up to you and being like, can I buy your dog? That's just creepy. It's the privilege of like, I've got money, so I guess I can take away something that someone loves.
I should be able to have that. Yeah.
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 Wow.
Yeah. Now I'm thinking back on it. What a creepy thing to do to little kids. Can we buy your dog? Like, no. I didn't think that much of it when I was a kid and be like, somebody tried to buy Nephi again.
Yeah. And like now looking back on all that, it looks like a disaster waiting to happen.
Yeah.
So Laura, we always ask everybody if you had the perp that from this crime and they can't say anything, they can't see you if you don't want them to, whatever, but you can say anything you want to them, what would you say?
I hope every single time you reach to get a cookie, the bag is empty.
Oh, that's good. That is a good answer.
That is a good answer.
Every time you're like, oh, I want a little sweet fix, and every time you try to get something, nope, deny.
The Midas touch, no cookies for you.
Oh, I love that. I love a very specific kind of...
Because it's just huge disappointment, but it's not like evil or anything. Yeah. It's just, you're just going to be disappointed over and over and over again your life.
It's a really good mild curse.
I love that.
I like it.
I hope that's you're always out of milk.
Yeah. Exactly. I kind of want to do it Italian style. Not only does it happen to you, but all your grandchildren. Every time they go to get a cookie, there's none.
I love that because it's more fun doing it to children because they like cookies more.
Exactly.
This is the cookie curse of 93.
And then also they
it all links back to a beautiful, beautiful dog.
And then they've got to stop those kids crying.
I have to tell you, I'm a fan of the podcast. My favorite episode still is Lavinia Fisher.
Lavinia.
I know that's old. Yeah, it's way back for you guys, but that whole, you know, killing people on the bed, like that's fantastic. People should go back and start at the beginning and listen to the podcast so they can go back and find the one I'm talking about. I'm not going to tell you. It's just early in the whole series here. But
this is a Lucy Porter episode,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah,
with the tepid Susan.
That was a very fun episode. I can remember that one well. And I can't
I'm just
say
making,
that about
I'm making people go back to the beginning. You can't start just mid-season. You got to commit and start from the beginning.
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
Okay, exactly. So no pressure on this case. I'm going to set the scene a little bit. The year is 1820. The Napoleonic Wars ended 5 years ago, and we're in a pub because it's us, guys. Come on. Am I right? So now this pub is called the Walnut Tree Inn, and it's in Aldington, Kent, in the UK in England. And for a while, this pub was the headquarters of something illicit.
Ooh.
So, two questions. Number one, what do you think the crime is that we're going to be discussing? And question number two, who were the gentlemen in blue?
Ooh.
Human trafficking?
Human trafficking we have from Laura. Good guess.
Was it an early incantation of the Blue Man Group?
Blue Man Group. I love it.
So we have two questions. What was the crime? And then who are the people in blue?
Yeah.
With the body snatchers.
Part of me thinks, are you doing a topical, you know, as topical as 1820 gets, but are you doing a topical one in the sense, is it Guy Fawkes? Is it, because I know that they all met in pubs and stuff, the conspirators for the gunpowder plot, but I don't know when the gunpowder plot was. I think it might have been before 1820.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not.
Because this isn't coming out on Guy Fawkes Night. I would have had to have a word with Amanda. I would have planned the whole thing.
So it's this pub in Kent, 1820.
Yeah.
You made a point of saying this is post-Napoleonic. Is that significant?
It
to what
be.
They're doing. So what would have been illicit after the Napoleonic Wars? Was it the the Guillotine Appreciation Society?
They're eating French food and French wine, yes, and not like know about it.
Also, can I just say that literally my only reference for Napoleon is the one from Bill and Ted. So that's all that that's all I've got. He likes water slides. That's all I know.
Oh, come on. You don't even have crime bandits in there? Come on. Do your
research. Time bandits.
Time bandits. Jesus. Yeah.
Crime Bandits is the sequel that we're writing. Write it down. Okay.
Yeah. Aww, and he eats the ice cream and he's like, Le Glace. And I'm like, I speak French now.
I only speak restaurant French. I know how the...
That's all you
I worked
need.
In a French restaurant for 10 years. So if you want to order something, we can creme brulee, tartatin, poulet à poivre, pommes frites. And,
nice.
But yeah, only food. So it's the French War. It's after the Napoleonic Wars. I feel like they're eating French food in the back of the pub, and they have French friends, and they speak French. That's the guys in blue. They're speaking French in the back of the pub, eating croissants and French champagne.
Okay, so you think
prostitution? One of the two.
Okay, so it's either human trafficking, prostitution, or illicit speaking French and eating croissants.
Do you know what?
Yes. Laura. We've got Blue Man Group from Hannah. Taylor, any advance on these wild accusations?
No, I'm just not getting. I'm not getting a reading on this one.
Okay. You need more information. That's fine.
I have more information.
Okay, we are going to be discussing smuggling.
Hello.
Smuggling.
They are smugglers. The headquarters is in a pub near a beach. We are smugglers. And the gentleman in blue is the name of the Aldington Gang, who are a gang of smugglers, and they were also known as the South Kent or Blues, and it was the colour of their smocks or clothing that they normally wore.
Hey, better that than their body parts.
It's like the early Crips. I'm from Los Angeles, so.
No, it is. It is like the Crips and the Bloods with the colours and everything.
It's the post-Napoleonic Crips. That's what we got going on.
It genuinely, it kind of is.
Thanks for bringing it to Los Angeles for me. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Everyone can be involved in this. It's a fun case. Now, certain preconditions need to exist to make smuggling.
That's cute.
So cute, you guys. So certain preconditions need to exist to make smuggling such a big and profitable extravaganza. So question, what perfect storm of conditions existed at this time which led to so much smuggling?
Ooh, so there probably wouldn't be strict laws around where boats were allowed to travel, how they were allowed to dock.
Okay.
That kind of stuff.
Okay.
Maybe. There had to be boats. There had to be boats.
Preconditions, boats. Yes, Taylor's nailed it. Anybody else? Laura, Hannah?
Well, with smuggling, you're usually bringing in goods that are either scarce or illegal. Ooh. So...
You're not smuggling
in things that you can find, you know, on the corner. So it's bringing in things that you can't get that people want. Right. So that is usually sex, drugs, and alcohol.
I love where you're going, and that is highly logical. Hannah, any advance?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that if you're... Because we didn't have prohibition here, did we? So, like, in terms of alcohol, I guess you can... Thank you, Katie. So I guess that, like... I'm just trying to think, what did they not have in 1820? And was there a lot of, like, were people, I suppose any time after a war, it seems like a country is not very affluent. It seems a time where you have to rebuild. Mm-hmm. So perhaps at the time in the 1820s, the country was so poor that maybe it wasn't stuff that was illegal. Maybe it was just stuff that they could get cheaper. It's like going to Aldi.
Okay, you know what? I'm giving it to Hannah.
Ooh, Aldi.
All right. So there's two things. Number one, a lot of men have come back from the wars and struggled to find other work.
Yes.
So you have high unemployment. I can't talk. You have high unemployment of men. But number two, and this is what Hannah was kind of saying, you have incredibly high taxes, which have been raised very high in an attempt to cover the debt of the war.
Interesting. I think smuggling is maybe going to make a comeback after coronavirus then, because there's a lot of unemployment and also...
And Brexit.
Yeah, and I think we're going to be taxed to make up for everything in the last couple of years. So.
Like, but that's not what the Tories are all about. Jesus Christ, don't get me started on this. I've already drunk too much, I can tell. We need to whiz through this.
I keep emptying my glass. It's going to be interesting.
Okay, so quick question. How much debt was Britain in after the Napoleonic Wars?
Oh, boy. I don't know why I got so excited. Oh, geez. Oh, boy.
It's going to be high.
It's a lot.
Taylor just loves hearing about other people's debts. It's like, oh, fucking tell me. Tell me.
Not my debt.
Do we do this in pounds or dollars? Like, do I need to do the translation? I'm going to say 23 million pounds.
Okay.
I'm trying to keep up with the vernacular of where we're at. Mm,
10
we appreciate
million.
That as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura.
You're like, that number makes no sense at all, Laura, but thanks for saying that.
No, 23 million from Laura. You guys going higher or lower?
10 million shilling guineas.
10 Taylor.
Shinnies. Shinnies. Shinnies.
As an insult to our currency. Come on. Hannah.
Yeah, I imagine, like, it's hard, isn't it, for an entire... Maybe I'm going to go high. I'm going to go 50 million because it's an entire nation. And, I mean, that is a huge amount of money in 1820, yeah. But fuck it.
You know what? Hannah is the closest.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Hannah's winning everything today.
What a night for HG.
Drinking.
The UK was in debt at this time between either £875 million and £1 billion, depending on which source I should trust. And that's the 1815 money. Because my source said that this was, at this time, it was 200% of GDP. But now GDP is in the trillions. So that was their money that they were in that much debt.
Wow.
And but it was in
shinny guineas. But it was in shinny guineas. Right.
It was, yeah, which means nothing.
I love the fact that I celebrated getting that right when I was £800 million wrong.
you were the closest. Just for reference, by the beginning of the 20th century, the national debt had been reduced to around 30% of GDP. So it's not 200%. Anyway, we don't need to get... Look, this is a crime podcast, but what's more fun than tax, you guys?
Nothing, really. I don't know, small razor blades with lime cuts. I don't know.
Okay, no, that is more fun than tax. the reason I have to just kind of slightly get bogged down in the tax and the debt just to set the scene a tiny bit more. And also we've got two American people on our podcast today. And England was, or Britain, whatever, was still, whatever my country calls itself, was still in debt obviously American independence, they'd got in loads of debt then. I could quote Hamilton lyrics to you all about that whole, you cheat with the French, now I'm fighting with France and with Spain. That all happened. And then,
I can't believe you're not a cast member.
I know, right?
Cutie Wilkins strikes again.
With the worst singing voice in the known world.
Nope, I win. That one.
No way.
I got kicked out of a church choir. Okay.
I got told to mime in my choir.
They didn't want me to mime. They wanted me not present.
They just wanted you out of there.
Oh, wow. God.
Any sound came out.
Okay. I think maybe you win.
That's not a very Christian thing to do. My God.
Like, I'm just trying to emphasize how much debt Britain was in. They'd been paying the other monarchies in Europe to fight Napoleon. Mm-hmm. They were really worried that, like, he was going to take over. So they're trying to encourage them to keep fighting the Republican, like the French Republicans and the Bonapartists. And then obviously they're not getting that sweet tax dollar from the USA anymore because America is free from British rule.
Yeah, we said no more taxes.
Yeah,
we stopped drinking tea. We went straight to coffee. Not
right,
really,
totally. So like crushing it.
Which then, we grew on our own soil.
It's a great day for everybody. But the point that I'm trying to make is that they've been raising all these other taxes because they're just so fucked. So they've got taxes coming out the wazoo. They've got income taxes, land taxes, and they've introduced the so-called assessed taxes on individual items which were imposed on many luxury goods, houses, carriages, servants, horses, and plates. And these increased so frequently and were applied to so many and more items and consumer goods that it was said of the government that wherever you see an object, tax it.
Wow.
So
they were taxing plates?
Yes.
A plate is a eat out of your hands? What?
Yeah. Eat out of your hands or pay extra tax. Like, this is where we're at.
Why there are windows in the UK that are bricked up because you got taxed per window on your property?
See, this, I thought this was more of an Irish thing because this was one of the things that English did to the Irish, which really just absolutely fucking crucified extra taxes on Ireland where, there was a window tax in Ireland. There probably was in England.
Oh, okay. There was, yeah. Like you can see, it's often in the more sort of posh areas of London. If you walk through Highgate, you can see loads of places that have been just like bricked up for the window tax.
And now like, people leave them as like a bougie thing. It's like, this was once taxed heavily. And,
I know, it's like my house is so fucking big that we could afford to actually lose some windows. If I lost a window in my flat, I'd literally be living in a cellar. Like, you know, it's like we need those windows. There's not enough of them.
But, I live in California. I'd be like, is it the hole in the wall that you're taxed for or the actual glass plane? Because if you just took the glass out and it's just a hole in the wall, would I be taxed? Because the weather's pretty nice here. If we just leave the hole.
See, that's good another point. Good
but,
point.
But the weather there is crap most of the time, so you have to have windows.
It's
a different ball game. And if you're trying to dodge window tax.
The Tories, like only a few years ago, did the bedroom tax. Do you remember the fucking bedroom tax?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's interesting that this shit doesn't go away. It's just...
For having a bedroom or for getting busy in the bedroom?
Spare
what were they
bedroom.
Oh, spare bedroom.
I made my boyfriend pay a bedroom tax, but like, that's the thing.
You want to enter?
I found...
You want to enter from behind? This is for you, Hannah.
Oh, goodness. That's because of Detective Buttstaff. That's nothing that we've talked about earlier on in the podcast that we've cut out. Just
or
so everyone
is
knows.
It? Let's leave them guessing. Okay. So it's safe to say at this point, they're in a bit of a pickle. The Aldington gang was probably the last major gang of smugglers in Kent. They operate along the coast between Rye and Deal, making good use of the Romney Marsh for transporting smuggling goods inland. Question, what kind of goods were they smuggling?
I'm smiling just because I love Deal, because that was the first place we went when lockdown ended. And there are plaques everywhere talking about the smugglers and stuff. And it's just, it's like the loveliest little town. So to picture it as the shithole that it was at the time and like it was just, you know, people of disrepute and
It wasn't necessarily a shithole of people of disrepute. It's just that that's
well,
where
that's what the plaque said.
Well, oh, really? They're trying to distance themselves. Wow.
If everything is being taxed.
Sorry.
Everything is being taxed. I'm sorry. I'm doing work, girl workplace thing. everything is being taxed, then everything is going to get smuggled. I mean, just talk about 2 months ago, toilet paper was like a high priority in the world. You know? Everything's being taxed, and then they were smuggling everything just to, so you could buy things without tax.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
Plates.
It's a plates and toilet rolls.
Is it very basic? Is it just like everyday items?
No, good instincts. Hannah, anything to add?
Well, when you were at school, did anyone else, I don't know if this is just an Isle of Wight thing, but did anyone else have like bullies would come up to you and they'd take your stuff and they'd just go taxed and then they'd walk off? Literally, they just say tax for anything. That was like they'd misinterpreted what tax was, or their parents had said like, "Oh, tax is stealing," and they've gone like, "Oh, well, I'm just going to steal things and shout tax in your face."
That is way more sophisticated than the bullies I grew up with. They just took your shit. They didn't have any social commentary on it. They're just like, "That's now my shit."
Yeah. At the end of the year, they gave me a rebate on all my sweets because they took too many.
You get to write it off.
See, my bullies said loser, so I always thought that meant like tax. So like, I always file my losers every year. And
my bullies just said four eyes, so I'm out of the game.
They just took your dignity.
Yeah.
But genuinely, anyone who's listening, can you just message us to let me know if it was just an Isle of Wight thing?
Is a shout out to your Isle of Wight bullies. What did tax mean?
No, it's to anyone else. I want to know whether they like invented it.
One wasn't smuggling huge in the Isle of Wight.
I don't know if any of you guys have a really on-brand story, but mine is when I was 10, I had an asthma attack in a smuggling museum. And that's just very Hannah George.
I'm drinking. Anybody else?
Yeah. Like, sorry, I can't talk. Cheers.
Drunk women solving crime.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast. Alongside my good friend, John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Okay, so they were smuggling spirits, tobacco, and salt.
I was going to joke about salt because it's always salt. This came up on another episode. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Everybody needs salt.
Those were the things that had very high taxes.
Because they were luxury items. So I was thinking the wrong way. Okay.
Okay, so now this gang probably formed prior to 1820 all the soldiers started. So from 1815, when everybody was returning from the war and then, you know, returning to this depressed employment market. But they're written about more after 1820. So question, how many people were in the gang? And I will accept answers. There's like a core kind of group. And then there's like the rider people that are kind of helping them pull stuff off.
18
in the core gang or in the whole gang?
I'm going to go whole gang.
Okay, 18 whole gang. You guys?
I think if you're going to like have like a costume, they're all wearing blue, like getting too many people to really go for that. I think you're talking maybe five, I think. I think there's five. Okay. Although I suppose you need quite a lot of people to run a ship. So let's go 10. I'm going 10.
All right, 10 for Hannah. Taylor?
Oh, I was picturing so much bigger. Like 50 or 60.
Okay. You know what? I'm giving it to Taylor. Basically, there was like 20 core members. So actually, I should give it to Laura too. And then there were
I won't take any pity points.
But you said 18. Which
I
is
don't
so
need
close.
Any pity.
It's so close. To
I
20.
Don't want your pity points. Give it to Taylor. You're driving crap.
So there were like 20 core members and there were like 80 kind of outer members. Okay. And that would be like locals helping unload stuff. And one source said that up to 300 people would be in on it. If there was a big shipment kind of helping, everybody's like in a big chain of command. It was actually quite military precision, the way they did it. So you'd have 20, the core 20 would be armed with firearms and kind of bats. And they'd be like patrolling and protecting the scene while the 80 kind of locals would be helping carry tubs of contraband goods from the boats across the beaches into the marshes. Now we have a gang leader at this point. I'm not going to pronounce
El Chapo.
Who?
It's very American reference, El Chapo. Sorry. I'm just thinking of like Mexico, like when they smuggle stuff, like I was like, oh, so you, the whole town's involved. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, no, like it is, you are correct, but this name is
Cephas. But it'll be John Quested. Smith. Oh, wow.
No, Cephas Quested, but I'm probably pronouncing it wrong.
That is a much sexier English name than you usually get.
What's his name?
Cephas.
So Cephas, C-E-P-H-A-S, and then Quested.
Cephas Quested.
That is a sexy name.
That's cool.
He's the original gang member, and he was the leader in the early days, and then somebody else takes over from him. So the
Pirate Roberts?
Well, so now, the locals were paid 7 shillings a night to do this, which was as much in one night as they would earn from a fortnight's wages later.
Wow.
Wow.
So it was totally worth their while.
Yeah.
Prime pays.
Which is obviously one of the reasons why it was very hard to catch the smugglers, because so many people were in on it and profiting, so no one wants to out them. Now, but eventually the tax man is losing too much money, so catching them becomes a bit more incentivized. So then we have a task force assembled to help catch them. It's kind of like if the Avengers were tax collectors. So question, what was the name of the task force to catch the smugglers?
Ooh, the big deal. Because
the
they're
big deal.
Nice.
Nice, nice.
What was the name of the town again?
Aldington.
Aldington. Now that's too long to have a task force. That's not catchy at all. I'm going to go with generic. The catching the blues. I don't know. Mm-hmm. The Blues Catchers.
Nice. Blues Catchers, big deal. Taylor.
Well, maybe.
I feel like it won't be catchy because it's 1820. I feel like it'll be like the men of moral standing and virtuous goal setting, achieving, you know what I mean?
Okay. Well, you know what? Either none of you get a point or all of you get a point because none of you were right, but you're all in the right direction. The name was...
In that it was a name?
Yeah. Well done, guys. Female workplace.
Yeah. It was in English. That's why we're all correct.
Yeah. So they were called the Blockade Men.
Okay,
Blockade Men
cool.
Assemble. So then things kick off a bit and we have skirmishes. There's a battle and there is a mishap in the battle. So basically this leader, Cephas Quested, not pronounced correctly, and I apologize. The gang leader, he's drunk, and he approaches a midshipman, and he thinks that he's a member of the gang, but he's actually a blockade man.
Oh.
I know. And he gives him his gun, and he tells him to just blow anyone's brains out that's trying to stop them.
Oh, no.
But of course, that is not what happens because this guy is a blockade man. So,
oh, shit. Of all the things to say as well, you know, sometimes you can accidentally send something to the wrong WhatsApp group or something. This is the equivalent of kind of like just going, here's a gun, blow anyone's fucking brains out. Anybody is so, like, it gets in our way of all the smuggling we're doing. Many thanks to you. It's just the worst possible thing he could have said.
So, question.
By the way, we're the blue men. We're the blue men.
Yeah. My full name is Stefano Quested. I can't
Cephas
remember.
Quested.
So I'm going to write down the headquarters address just so you have.
Question, what does the blockade man do now that he's been handed a gun?
He blows everybody's brains out because he's like, there's a better life for me.
Excellent guess. Anyone, any advance?
He captures the HUD honcho.
Yes. Ding, ding, ding. Laura is correct.
I finally got a real point, not any pity point.
Laura is correct. And he turned the musket on the leader and he arrested him. And then the leader refused to give up anybody or turn king's evidence, as they called it then. So he is hung on July 4th, 1821. And then George Ransley becomes the gang's leader. So smuggling life goes on. They're hanging out at the Walnut Tree Inn. That's their headquarters. They're living their best smuggling gang lives. A fun fact, that pub is still there and it serves local bitters to local people.
Hey!
Nice.
This new guy, he's very well organised, this George Ransley.
It's a cooler name though.
It's a better name. I can pronounce it probably. And he's a better leader. He's better organised. He didn't give his gun to the enemy, so it's kind of a low bar, but you know. And he had a kind of a set drill, which everybody stuck to. So all the locals that were involved, they'd be like prepped that the pubs that they were going to, because there'd be more than one pub involved, they'd be like cheese and ale to feed all the helpers. Guards would be bribed. Locals would be warned. All the contraband stuff was usually transported in tubs. And sometimes there was like storage houses used. I'm going to quote one source. This is just an example of the military style. Ransley's tub carriers could unload a boat or a ship or a tub rope of its tubs within minutes. The batmen formed a half circle and round the beach boat, facing outwards, with levelled muskets, leaving a small group through which the hurrying tub carriers passed up the beach to the marsh. The batmen usually warned off the blockade men before firing, but if the warning was ignored, firing ensued. Once the carriers were off the beach, the batmen formed a classic rear guard to cover their escape into the marsh, marching, halting, turning about to fire a volley, reloading again, and then retiring. So it's like this actually really big military operation with all of these kind of ex-military people that are involved. And they had a doctor on call to tend to the wounded.
Wow, that's quite cool.
They had lawyers for legal representation. So basically the families of anyone wounded or killed were supported financially. So they were never going to prove disloyal. They had everything covered. So far, so good. Nothing can possibly go wrong. Until the early hours of the 30th of July, 1826. Everything starts as normal. You've got two lines of smugglers carrying tubs of illicit spirits from a boat close to the Dover shore. The usual fighting party armed with long duck guns provided protection. But this time, you've got this local seaman, Michael Pickett. He sees the gang, he fires his pistol in warning, and he alerts the preventative service quartermaster to the trouble. And then this guy gets shot. And then there's a whole thing. And then like basically all these extra people come to kind of stop the smugglers. Some of the smugglers end up disappearing into the night, but they leave 33 tubs of liquor behind.
Nice.
Party.
I know.
Such an idiot.
No, this is good. You got to break up my monologue with this good stuff.
Well, I was like, why didn't anybody, like, maybe because I have a junior high sense of humor. I'm like, she said semen. Like,
I'm just, I made a laughing face. I tried to invite everybody in, like, but
I don't want to interrupt. She's like on a roll, but I'm like, she said, I feel like it's a Beavis and Butthead moment. I'm like, she said,
you know what? You are absolutely right to call me out on that. I rushed through semen and I should have let that breathe.
It needs a proper do. Come on. Anytime there's a semen involved.
All right, you guys go nuts. Have your semen fun.
The moment is past.
This guy's been shot. He's high up. There's a reward of £500 and a free pardon. And though the locals are starting to get pissed off with the smugglers, but they're still quite reluctant to offer clues.
Did you also say long duck guns? Because I had a question.
I think I did say that, but I'm not prepared to reread my notes.
No, that's true. I just wondered if that was a thing that I didn't know about. Because then amongst the seamen, I was like, quack, quack, you know.
That's a character in 16 Candles.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That.
Long Duck.
That movie.
Taking it back to John Hughes a long time ago. Sorry.
That's not aged well.
No, aged well. I mean, nothing has aged well, apart from Bill and Ted.
Very true.
They did a reboot. I haven't watched it yet.
Anyhow. I really liked it. I really liked the reboot.
Because anything Keanu touches, I love him.
Secretly want to marry him or date him or just have his babies or just touch him. You're right.
Big fan.
But there's pictures of like Keanu Reeves when he meets fans. And I remember just seeing somebody post it on Twitter saying Keanu's taking no chances. And he's got his sort of arms around them, but you can see that he's not touching them.
He won't touch anybody because he doesn't want any inappropriate behavior. He's like the coolest guy, though. I mean, he will stop on the... There's stories all the time. He lives in Los Angeles that he stops and helps people with their cars breaking down, and he buys everybody in Starbucks coffees. I mean, he's just like the most zen, nice guy ever.
He seems awesome.
He really does.
I'm glad he was my 15-year-old's crush.
Myself
is 15.
Oh, I meant to tell you this because I've listened to the podcast. Long-time listener, huge-time nerd, fan. I know somebody in there likes Jason Bateman. I actually made out with Jason Bateman when I was like 15 years old.
Oh, how are you just saying this now?
Excellent drunk women gossip.
I also made out with Scott Baio at a similar time.
Okay, not as impressive. Let's back up to Bateman.
Okay, I don't care if we're ever on. Continue.
You made out with my...
Not a big deal. I don't remember anything about it. There was two clubs in Los Angeles that were really big that people went to. It was Dylan's and 321 Club. And I just like walking through the hallway, it was like, he wasn't really famous. His sister was. He wasn't. He would just tag around with Mallory, you know, everywhere. And one night, just like, yeah, it's the 80s, you know, just make out for a little bit and then you move on.
You just called her the name that she was on Family Ties instead of her name.
Because that's how I remember her. I actually waited on them too at a restaurant.
God.
I
worked
on.
Wow.
Like, was that before or after the
scene? Yes. Made out with what? Him.
I waited on him after I made out one, but I didn't bring it up and neither did he, because I'm pretty sure neither one of, like, he would not remember me making out. It was like when it was a period. He just made out with people and then went back to the dance floor.
It's just that I grew up in a place where that never turns into an anecdote. It's like, I think he runs Jimmy's cement company now. We had a moment.
I'm the worst because I grew up in Los Angeles, and I mean, it's not like I've seen celebrities everywhere, but I have seen, and I'm the worst because I won't recognize who they are at all. I literally have sat next to Sean Penn at a restaurant for about 45 minutes and he's only 2 feet away from me before I realize Sean Penn is sitting next to me.
Well, like, what are you going to do with him?
Right by me. And some people are really starstruck. I am not that way at all. Like, literally, I don't even see them. They're like, da, da, da. it was only because, you know, sister Bateman was standing next to him that I knew that was his, who he was. So he wasn't famous at the time.
That is a good story.
I'm a bad celebrity stalker. That's what I'm telling you right now. I've seen tons of people, but it's after the fact. I'm like, oh my God. I mean, I actually had George Michael standing behind me at an Elton John concert. He was there for like an hour and a half before I recognized George Michael standing behind me.
Wow.
I'm not a good celebrity stalker at all, but he was a beautiful, beautiful man.
Wow.
Maybe that was my Labrador's name. That would have been the golden retriever. It should have been George Michael.
Ironically, George Michael is the name of Jason Bateman's son in Arrested Development. So we come full circle.
Yeah.
All right. I tangent long enough.
I needed to know that. That
was beautiful. Like, genuinely, that's made all of our days.
Jason Bateman's going to call me up. Why are you telling stories about me, Laura? It was 30 years ago.
And you're going to be like, well, where was my tip? I'm assuming he was a good tipper in a restaurant. He's a nice guy, right?
I don't remember them being poor tippers. So you only remember like outrageous or somebody's really crap. So
he was good. He was fine. Image saved. He's fine. Okay, so I think we were just about here. This guy's been killed. There's a 500-pound reward. But everybody is still kind of, the townspeople are like sort of sick of smuggling, but also they're still benefiting from smuggling. And they don't see smuggling as bad because they think the taxes are ridiculous. But some of the smugglers are also like, you know, they're sometimes breaking into people's houses and robbing them and stuff. So not all of these smugglers are ace great guys. So there's like basically one of my sources described.
Hashtag not all smugglers.
Hashtag not all smugglers, guys. But there's like the success of the smuggling gangs was dependent upon the goodwill of the local people. The gang began to lose this quote unquote special relationship. So basically it's like they're Hugh Grant in Love Actually, and they're only going to stand up to bullies if they get to bang Martine McCutcheon.
Do you know what, then? That's fair enough.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's not worth standing up to bullies. They're really scary.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, eventually, two members of the gang, John Bushell and Edward Horn, were caught, and they eventually informed on their colleagues, fucking snitches. Mm. And so it becomes a bit more of an investigation. They've got more to go on. So the Bow Street Runners, the very early police, are involved. And then basically this massive fucking army of 120 preventative servicemen, that's what they're calling it, echoes of today, guys. Preventative servicemen, they march into Aldington to surround Ransley, the leader gang guy's house. They want to arrest him. Question, does Ransley come quietly?
Oh, I hope not. He's a smuggler. He's the second in command smuggler. Like, he stood up for a dead man. But that's what I said that wrong. Oh, okay. But like, fine. Somebody died for his position. Like, he's not going to go down easily. That's not what a smuggler does. And I've dated smugglers.
Okay. It's got the pirate's code kicking off with Taylor. Any advance, Hannah and Laura?
I agree with Taylor. He's not going to go down easy. Okay. Why would he?
Okay.
I agree. Hannah? I think that also sometimes we've been doing this long enough now that I think, why ask? Why ask the question if he just went, do you know what? That's a fair comp. So
you know, I got me.
Yeah.
I'm super sorry, you guys. I've led you a merry dance.
Oh, she did it.
He surrendered without
resistance. She threw us. Katie.
He saw the size of the resistance. There's 120 people come to arrest him. So he just surrendered. And him and six others were handcuffed and marched to Deptford, which was considered far enough away that no rescue attempts would be mounted. And then more people were arrested the next day and taken to London.
How far is Deptford?
It's South London, isn't it?
It is.
Deptford is in South London. I've been to Deptford. So they were charged. There was a court case. They all pleaded not guilty. But some of them were convicted for crimes. And basically him and a bunch of them get sent. Their sentences were commuted transportation to, like, at this time, this place gets called Van Diemen's Land. Does anyone want to guess what country this is?
Australia. That's all we know about it.
Australia. Any advance on Australia?
Gibraltar.
Gibraltar, Hannah.
Van Diemen's Land.
Yeah.
Do you mean Vin Diesel's house?
Is D-I-E-M-E-N. Diamonds. Diamonds.
No, Taylor.
Laura, have you ever snogged Vin Diesel? Is my next question.
No, I have not.
But she would know. She probably doesn't know.
It was pre-fame. I might have. I don't know. But I've waited on a lot of celebrities. I worked at a high-end French restaurant. I told you, and I've seen a lot of them. I don't remember. I haven't slept with any of them.
Do you know what? I'll take Jason Bateman. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, Katie. I've taken his honor.
The question was, what country is this?
Oh, Carina. I'm going to say Transylvania.
Okay. You know what? Laura gets it. It was Tasmania.
Oh, Tasmania.
Oh, that's quite Australia.
Devil. And you said country, Gibraltar. Whatever.
I'm going to go on a quest for you, however, and I'm going to see if I can make out with some more celebrities.
And then come back and tell her.
I'm going to go for the really old ones. They won't know I could just sneak up on them in their walkers and stuff.
Get Brad Pitt in the mix and then be like, my dog!
I would very much enjoy that.
Okay.
You look like my dog!
I've heard he's got a wet nose. So
smuggling, yay or nay? I'm pro smuggling. I think they did what they had to do.
Yeah, I think that I think bring back smuggling is what I say. Should we have a little cheers?
I don't think we're to bring it back. I think it's still here.
Oh yeah, of course it is. How fucking privileged am I? I don't think anyone smuggles anymore.
It never left.
Cheers, guys.
Yay.
I say we bring back the prisons.
Drunk women solving crime.
Hey guys, did you know that there's a party on Patreon and everybody's invited? It's true. You can go support us on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime. What is Patreon about? What's a place where you can support the artists to keep making the content that you like or even love a little bit? When you sign up, you get lots of rewards in return, like ad-free episodes and even extra content. Speaking of which, we've got our live show in full up on Patreon right now from December, and the second show will be going up shortly, so it's a great time to sign up. Now, the shout outs for this week are, and as always, I'm so sorry if I say your name wrong. Let me know when I'll say it again. We've got Tori Spratt, Cheris Parslow, Annie C., Shannon McCluskey, K.W. McKenzie, Janice Campbell, Diana Porto, or I want to say Diana. I love that name. Let me know how it is. I'm going to do it again. I'll do it again for you. Helena Timms, Christina Owen, Elena Steenson, and Talitha Slaughter Hudson. Thanks as always, guys, and we'll see you over there.
This is our listener crime that we need to solve. I don't think there's a name on this one, or at least the way we've saved it. I cannot see a name. So I'm just going to go ahead and read this, and thank you to whoever sent this. I've been the victim of a few crimes, but please solve this one. Dropping my son at nursery, he started crying, so I put my belongings on a bench and gave him a cuddle. He goes in and my mobile phone had gone from where I put it down. Only me, my friend, and one other family were there. I called my phone repeatedly. My friend did too. It rang and rang. Then it got turned off. Spoke to the school office. They called the suspect on their own phone. They claimed their toddler son had picked it up and that they hadn't noticed. To set the scene, when I had put the phone down, I put it down with a box of gingerbread men on top of it.
Did they take the gingerbread?
Well, this is it. Like, so did the toddler, like, take everything? Did they take just... What is going on here? It does feel like there might be a family trying to take a phone.
Yeah, because
and they're blaming it on their toddler.
But any, you can get away with that, I think. Saying, oh my God, my toddler picked that up. I'm really sorry. But not yeah, if it's got a box of biscuits on the top. That's the thing a child goes for. A child doesn't think, oh, I'm going to take this iPhone that's worth 400 quid. I'm going to take the gingerbread man.
Unless they really want to play Fruit Ninja. Come on.
Yeah. I think the kid took the cookies and the dad or mom was like, there's a free phone.
Yeah. It does feel like they were trying their luck. Like, because like I used to, one of my many pre-successful career jobs was I've worked for various insurance companies, but one of them was people used to ring up and say, oh, my toddler washed my laptop's crystal screen, whatever, with like some, you know, furniture polish. And now my laptop is ruined and I need to claim money. But like, a lot of the time, the people that would, I was just the person typing in, but the people would be like, yeah, like you just thought you could clean your laptop and you're a dick and you're now blaming it on your toddler so that you can claim insurance. Like, so there is an element of like, as much as I'm a parent of toddlers and I want to be like, well, you should just let anyone with a toddler do whatever they say is true because their life is already horrible. Come on, let's trust everybody. But like, also... It's like, it's such
an advocate for parenthood.
Yeah. It's like the only reason you should become a parent is so that you can get out of everything ever.
See, if it was like peanut butter, I'd be like, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Credible. But like,
I think it's a family, it's a crime family, is what it is. The kids are like, gonna lift the cookies. And they're like, yeah, and then we'll go for the phone. Yeah. They're setting it up early.
They've trained their son. They're yeah, like it's like an Oliver pickpocket kind of scenario. Mm-hmm.
It's a family of thieves.
Okay, so are we? So this family that are like, oh, it was my toddler. I'm innocent. We're actually blaming them.
Yeah.
So our conclusion is crime family.
Oh, did we do crime that family thing again? We're such victim blamers. We've just gotten worse and worse.
We didn't blame the victim, though. The victim was the person who had their phone nicked. We
Sorry. I read into that as like it was a setup. And never mind.
Okay. So we're blaming strangers with toddlers.
So we're very much still blaming a mother, though, which is what we always do.
We're blaming,
so.
Yeah.
Champions.
I like, if this happens to me in the future, we're going to change our announcement of like who's to blame.
It's aliens. That's what it is. Aliens did it. It's always aliens.
So it's aliens. And look, just like toddlers are really difficult, you guys, and all sympathy, but this sounds suspect. Okay, so we solved it. We didn't make it worse unless, like, now there's going to be war on the toddler playground between parents. Basically, I think we solved it, and cheers.
Cheers. Woo!
Big Little Lies 3.
I love that part. We didn't make it worse. That's good.
We didn't make it too much worse.
We didn't make it worse.
We have just enough time to ask the fantastic Laura Hayden, what are you up to? Where can we find you?
Well, I'm going to work on my celebrity stalking. Let's see what B-level celebrities I can make out with before I talk to you guys again. If I capture Brad Pitt, I'm coming back on. I don't care what we're talking about.
Seriously, there's a spot for you.
We'll do a special.
Yeah, Chris Helmsworth, I've been drinking bourbon. Brad Pitt, any of the Chris's actually, Chris Pine, Chris North. Okay, we can pass on Christopher Walken, but I could probably get Christopher Walken. Anyhow, listen to my podcast, Whiskey Women.
Yeah.
And Katie was on it, and I would love to have both of you other ladies on it if you're interested.
Oh,
we drink whiskey, we tell whiskey stories, and I have a whiskey expert tell us about how you make whiskey. And it's educational and entertaining. I call it edutation. Education, fun entertainment. I don't know. I can't talk about it. But it's all great, of those though. Things.
It's a really fun podcast. I really enjoyed being a guest. And I really enjoyed all the ones I've listened to.
Oh, good. Thank you for listening. Anyhow, you can find me on Dr. Laura Hayden on Instagram, Laura Hayden on everything else. So
awesome.
I would say I was supposed to be in the UK, but then in September, I was supposed to be in the UK, but guess what? Nope. So
were you going to be doing Edinburgh?
I was going to pop in and do shows where you just jump up. I wasn't going to have a proper show this year, I don't think, but because I didn't have the bankroll. But
do you know what? Don't say that. For Edinburgh this year, you could be like, oh my God, I was going to do my circus show. I was going to have an elephant. I was going to... Yeah. Oh my God.
It's going to be amazing, but now no one will see it.
I did a one-woman show at Edinburgh because Eddie Izzard, who's my favorite ever, he's my most favorite ever. I've seen him a dozen or plus times. I have met him in LA a couple of times, but I didn't try to kiss him. So maybe I'll try it. I'm like, Eddie, this is for research.
Just go pucker
up. Just pucker up. I don't need a tongue. Just pucker up. Anyhow, it was so weird because I took a picture with him and I put my hand on his knee like we were familiar, like I knew him. And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I just... But he said to be a proper comedian, you have to perform in Edinburgh. So I was like, well, Eddie said it, I have to do it. So I wrote a one-woman show and I took it to Edinburgh. And my goal as my first time there as American, nobody knew me, is to have no zero audiences, which I did every day. And nice. I no break. And I had no zero audiences. So that was... There was one day that only had three, but I had no zero audiences. So
that's awesome. That
was a success. And then the next year I brought a show called Comedy and Cupcakes, which is a show I run in LA where I make cupcakes for the entire audience. And I ran that. And that was a huge success because it turns out you people really like your baked goods. Standing room only every single day.
Wow.
People are like, I can't have cake and sit through the show. Great. I was going to bring that again, I think, because that was really fun. And I got some really... People are like, you give out cupcakes and the room's packed. And I did it in the yurt. So I put 77 people one day in that yurt.
Wow.
If you know the yurt, seats about 20.
But I also know the size of ovens in Edinburgh. And I'm like, wow, that's a lot of, that's a lot of batches of cupcakes.
I cheated. I purchased them. I was like, every day, I'm like, I need 24 cupcakes every day. And they're like, I'm like, can you make me for the next 28 days? I need 24 cupcakes every day. What can we work out? So I would come pick up cupcakes and go to the show.
I love it. Do you think they just thought you were really sad? And you're just like, I just need at least 24.
This lady gained 100 pounds during the Fringe. How is that possible?
Oh, that's like when I used to go get donuts and I'd be like, I think Paul wants 3 custard filled and Gemma.
I can pound down some donuts. I'm a good American.
Well, this is awesome. Laura Hayden, thank you so much. And thank you.
Thank you.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman. Music by The Lion and the Wolf. If you would like to, you can follow us on Drunk Women Pod on Twitter. On Facebook and Insta, we are Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And also, if you have a crime that you would like us to solve, write it on a review on Apple Podcasts as well. Thank you to Acast, and thank you for listening. Bye!
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.